Welcome to Spirits on Spirits, a podcast where we mix ghost stories with a little liquid courage. I'm Aiden.
And I'm Nate.
And together we'll dive into the eerie, the unexplained, and the downright terrifying, all while enjoying a drink or two. Each episode we'll explore haunted places, ghostly encounters, and paranormal mysteries, pairing them with the perfect cocktail to keep our nerves steady. So grab a glass, turn down the lights, and join us as we sip, shiver, and swap some spine-chilling stories. Because here at Spirits on Spirits, the only thing stronger than the ghosts are our drinks.
Welcome back, Boo Crew. We are coming to you live with this week's episode of Spirits on Spirits. We are happily coming to you from the city of Sin, Las Vegas. City known for its bright lights, its hopes, dreams, and entertainment. All with a dark underbelly that we will be exploring this week.
Yeah, so I actually recently got back from a trip to Las Vegas. So this is a topical and exciting episode for me.
How was the trip?
It was solid. It was a bachelor party. Nice. We stayed at the Venetian. I didn't lose money. So
yeah. I mean, that's
a huge win.
Insane. That is crazy.
Yep.
Didn't know that was possible.
Yeah, and not for like a trying. I did spend some time at the tables and still came out on top. So I beat Vegas.
There you go. Yeah. What was your go-to game?
Did a lot of the like video roulette.
Video roulette.
Yeah, the like standard roulette tables really scare me because I don't like having to deal with people. So
that's fair. That's I don't like that roulette. Like it's like, oh, you can only touch the money at certain point. Like yeah. It's like, I've had a couple times where, like, you go to you're like, oh, I won, like, and they like put the chips down, and then you go to grab it, and someone goes, hey, and you're like, oh, okay.
Well, dude, I sat at a blackjack table, and I accidentally took my phone out. God forbid. Dude.
Oh, like, yeah.
They were like, oh, what are you doing?
Yeah,
yeah.
What casino were you at when that happened?
That was at That was in Old Vegas, so we were at Binion's.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
yeah. I remember we've been to Vegas. I think, like, pulled out the phone once by accident again. Same thing. It's like, blah, blah, blah. But yeah. It's weird because I see videos on social media all the time of people in casinos. So I don't.
Definitely hidden cameras. Definitely not.
I don't know, but, like, you've definitely seen. I've seen people. Maybe it's just not Vegas, but I've seen people, like, playing, like, six different hands of blackjack and they're, like, drunk at 7 a.m. and they're videoing themselves and stuff like that.
People also just might not care at that time. We were there at, like, a normal time on a weekend. So.
And stuff like that. Yeah. Vegas definitely does scare me a decent amount.
Yeah. And it should scare you based on the stories that we've got for you today.
Nice. Well, before we get into the spirits, maybe we get into the spirits. Aiden, tell the people what we're drinking on this week.
Yeah. So it's based on a cocktail called the Sin City Sour, which is essentially just a whiskey sour, but, your boy ran out of whiskey, so I had 1 ounce of whiskey left, so I did 1 ounce of whiskey, and then I substituted the other half an ounce for dark rum. So nice. We're doing a little medley sour today.
Now, what makes the Sin City Sour? That, like, why is it a unique drink? Like, what makes it different then?
I think that the whiskey sour is just popular in Las Vegas. Gotcha. And they call it the Sin City Sour because it's Sin City and it's a sour. So
gotcha. Okay. Yeah.
I don't think it's that much different than an actual whiskey sour. But basically, it's just 1.5 ounces of whiskey, 1 ounce of lemon juice, and then 1/2 ounce of simple syrup. And then I topped it off with a little lemon twist, one of the like lemon peel twists, and then a couple of cherries as a little garnish.
Nice.
So, shall we cheers?
Shall we cheers? Nice.
Ooh. Oh, that's strong. I used, like, an actual lemon. I just like, squoze?
Nope. Squeezed.
Squeezed.
Yep. Yeah, but okay. Not squozed. Dude, I just squozed up on that lemon, bro.
Yeah, I just squeezed half a lemon.
Squozed. It's like if squeezed caught a case, man. Like, it's squozed.
I squozed a half a lemon in there instead of using like a half an ounce of lemon juice. And I don't know if half a lemon was enough, to be honest.
Well, you're going to have your half of the stories to get through it. Then you're going to have to make another. Maybe put more lemon in that one.
Yeah, I'll just do a better job next time. So I will just get right into my story.
Nice.
So, we all know Zach Bagans.
Now, for the people that don't know Zachy B, hit him with the story.
Yeah, so his big thing is he screams at ghosts and demons to scratch him and like crawl into his body.
What is he most known? What is he known for?
Yeah. No, he's made he made Ghost Adventures, which is a show.
Gotcha.
Do you want to put a number out there? How many seasons of Ghost Adventures do you think exist?
Gosh, I'd say upwards of 20. Like we're talking probably 20 seasons, right?
26.
26 seasons.
That's
a lot of seasons.
That's
a lot of ghosts.
An absurd amount of seasons for That's any crazy. Show, let alone a show where it's literally just a goth dude screaming at ghosts.
Oh, man. I mean, they have their formula down. Like, it's the exact same.
Oh, yeah. Every no, episode. Go in, scream at demons, lock Aaron in a basement.
For those of you that have not seen the show before, one of the co-hosts of it is this guy named Aaron, and I'm, you know, never met him, but he seems like a nice guy.
Yeah, he seems like a really nice guy.
But he's definitely like a little, you know, he's the gullible one of the group, and the main host, Zach, like, will just randomly lock him in places. And then Aaron is, like, very much not down for it, but, like, gets locked in the places. And,
yeah,
like,
he has no choice on the matter.
Oh, man.
But yeah, so did you know that he also has a museum?
Zach owns a museum.
Zach owns a museum.
Shoot.
In Las Vegas.
I didn't know that. I knew they're like he's from Vegas, but I didn't know he owned a museum in Vegas.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And it's not just like your run of the mill museum. It's not like, oh, like here's some stuff that was on the show. No, this is like he buys allegedly the most haunted things on the planet. And Jeez. He just holds them all in this museum and, like, lets people come interact with them.
That sounds terrible. Why would you
Because he's that? Zach Bagans and he's a freak.
Yeah.
So, yeah, today I'll be talking about just a few of the many items that Zach owns in his museum.
Curious. Yeah. Very, very curious.
So I'm thinking today, instead of doing what we normally do, which is, like after each place we talk about whether or not we think it's haunted.
Yeah.
I'm thinking after each item.
Okay.
We talk about whether we think it's haunted because each thing has its own identity. So.
Yeah, that's fair. And like backstory and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I'm good for that.
All right. So, we'll start with one of the most famous and infamous items in his collection.
I'm excited.
It's called the Dybbuk box. Have you ever heard of it?
No.
So, if you're unfamiliar, the Dybbuk box is said to be a cursed container. It holds a malevolent spirit from Jewish folklore.
Oh.
Yeah, so, from what I read, it was bought by a guy at, like, a yard sale, and then he opened it and just, like, stuff just started going crazy. But it first gained attention later on when it was listed on eBay with a crazy backstory, which was that anyone who possessed it would experience horrific nightmares, unexplained illnesses, and violent poltergeist activity.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. A few of the owners have suffered devastating misfortunes. Some have claimed that the entity inside would escape and torment them. Even famous rapper Post Malone has had a...
Posty?
Dude, Posty.
What... He was owning the box?
No, he didn't own it. He when Zach bought it, he brought Posty in for like a little, let's fuck with the Dybbuk box. And then apparently Posty had like a series of misfortunes afterwards.
Oh, jeez.
Like, I don't know if this came after that, but remember that thing with Post Malone on a plane and like the the landing gear, like, malfunctioned or something.
Oh, vaguely.
And, like, there was a chance that it was going to crash.
Yeah, I vaguely remember that.
So I don't know if that was part of that, but
it
potentially was. Zach himself has reported feeling an overwhelming sense of dread when he's near the box, and visitors have fainted, become nauseous, or collapsed when in the presence of the box.
Huh. Interesting.
Now, I do want to point out, though, that, like, ever since this thing became more popular, there's been, like, a trend of, like, YouTubers and TikTokers and stuff going in and, like, unboxing Dybbuk boxes, because Dybbuk box is, like, it's not just this thing.
Oh.
It's like a, I think it's like a thing within that culture. So it's like, this is the famous Dybbuk box, but there are many Dybbuk boxes.
And they all house an evil spirit?
No. So that's, it's alleged that this one does, but it's not necessarily universal. So basically it's just become like a big, like, oh, we're unboxing a Dybbuk box at midnight at 3 a.m.
Oh, geez.
And so, like, I kind of take it with a bit of a grain of salt.
Sure.
So, yeah, but that is the Dybbuk box.
I mean, okay. Yeah, probably haunted. Like, just because of all the stories and the experiences. But, like, when you said most haunted thing in the collection, I was, like, expecting something with a little bit more firepower. But it sounds like everyone that experiences it experiences
I don't think it is the most haunted thing. I think it's one of the most infamous things.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because of all the, like...
Yeah, just because of the story behind it. And it, like, when it went for sale on eBay, it became a huge thing.
Why was someone selling it on eBay? Like, what did... How did this one get an evil spirit? Why was someone selling it on eBay? That's a bunch of, like...
So I think it's, like, the original owner put... like a bunch of items in it and like was trying to lock away the spirit, and it was basically like a, hey, never open this kind of thing.
Gotcha.
And then the guy who bought it opened it
on eBay.
Yeah. I don't know.
That's weird. That's wild. Yeah, definitely haunted, but like weird.
See, I'm kind of
just
like
a weird situation.
Yeah. I'm kind of, not convinced by this one.
Okay.
I don't know. I just feel like there's a lot of, like, hokey things behind it, and, like, it becoming a big thing after, I don't know, it's just, it feels like a big, like, marketing ploy to me. So, you can say haunted. I'm saying nah.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, like, I don't know, this one's where I'm like, ah, I don't know if there's much there, but, like, whatever.
And now it's kept in, like, a protective case.
Oh, okay.
As are most of his things, I think.
Because they're so haunted.
I think Zach Bagans has a tendency to, like, really over-exaggerate the items in his collection. Like, so there's a podcast called the Haunted Objects Podcast, which covers a few of his items, and they've even said, like, he puts, like, salt around these things, and, like, basically just, like, things that, like, mainstream ghost hunters and, like, ghost quote-unquote experts will tell you will work, but, like, probably doesn't actually work.
Gotcha. Okay.
So I think he's just kind of, like, playing into the, like, oh, this is a scary thing.
Gotcha. That makes sense.
Yeah. So next, we're talking about a doll.
Oh, no.
Not Annabelle, but it does... It's up there in terms of, like,
haunted
terror.
Dolls. Okay. Yeah. All right. Hit me with it.
So this one's called Peggy the Doll.
Oh, no. No, thanks. No, thanks.
It's a cute name, but yeah, no thanks. So she's housed within the museum, and those who encounter her will often leave feeling uneasy if they make it out, like, unscathed at all. So sometimes people will, like, have some crazy experiences in the room with Peggy.
Why?
Well, so the stories about her are chilling. People report headaches, chest pain, visions of a pale woman warning them to stay away.
What?
Isn't that creepy?
You're just standing next to a doll, and then all of a sudden your eyes roll back in your head, and it's just a pale woman going like, stay away.
Stay away from the doll.
Oh my gosh.
Some claim that looking into Peggy's eyes can trigger paranormal activity, and the museum warns guests from speaking ill against her because that can result in strange occurrences in their own homes. So, like, the stuff will follow them back home if they speak ill of Peggy.
Okay. I'm not saying anything ill of the dog.
So Zach first acquired Peggy from paranormal investigator Jane Harris, who reported that over 80 people who had just seen the image of Peggy online suffered from unexplained afflictions. So, like, they don't even have to be in the same room as Peggy. Peggy has, like, the power over them through the screen.
Yeah, dude, I'm not. No, thank you. We're not attaching a picture of this one. I'm not doing it. I'm not.
Or we could attach one at the end and just say, scroll to the end at your own.
Nope. Because that means one of us needs to look at it to pull it up.
I'll look at it. It's fine.
No. Dude, come on. Don't do that to us. It's a co-hosted podcast. I can't do this on my own.
But so she's one of the most feared artifacts in the museum.
That's fair.
Because of all of that.
Peggy, I respect you. I'm not messing with you.
So what do you think? Haunted or not?
Haunted. Moving on.
If any item is going to be haunted in this museum, it's probably the doll.
I don't know why dolls are
always
haunted.
Dolls freak me out a little bit.
Why are dolls always haunted?
Like, I'm not freaked out by paranormal stuff, but dolls, just in general, like, not like paranormal aside, dolls freak me out. Like, imagine waking up and just, like, seeing a doll.
I don't understand why dolls are always haunted. Like, it makes no sense.
Because they're human-like. So, like, the ghost probably wants to latch themselves onto something that, like, feels like a body.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know that to be true. I'm just kind of spitballing here.
I don't know. I'm creeped out even just talking about the doll.
Well, then we'll move
on. Do you think we said, like, enough to, like, have the doll mess with us?
No.
Okay. All right. Cool.
And if it does, that's just more...
Nope.
That's good for the pod.
No, it's not.
So, all right, we'll move on from the doll. The doll's freaking out, I can see. You can't see him at home, but he's quaking in his boots right now. Yeah.
Just not a fan of this.
So, next is the infamous Devil's Rocking Chair. Oh, my God. Pretty bad name.
Yeah, like, why? I don't like your place. Like, everything in your place is scary.
Well, it's Zach Beggins. He's going for, like, shock factor.
I guess. Like, why couldn't he just buy, like, a PacSun or something with all his shirts? Or, like, an Ed Hardy store?
Because that would be too, like, nice.
Oh, my gosh. I'd go there. I'd go to Zach Beggins' closet.
He would just have black shirts and black pants.
Yeah, cool.
Hanging up, and that's
take a couple pictures, go home, have a nice trip to Vegas, like...
And his black hair dye.
Yeah, be fine.
So this is tied to one of the more terrifying cases in paranormal history, which is it's also the real life inspiration for the third Conjuring movie, which is called The Conjuring, The Devil Made Me Do It. So the chair was used during the 1980 exorcism of David Klatzel, who's a young boy who claimed to be possessed by a demonic force. It was one of, do you know who the Warrens are? Lorraine Warren?
No.
So they're like the people who have you seen The Conjuring?
Can't remember.
So they're like the paranormal
investigators. That was like they bought the house down in Connecticut, right?
Yeah, and then a couple of paranormal investigators come and like do their stuff.
Yeah.
And that's Ed and Lorraine Warren. So they were like seen as like the guys in the paranormal world back in the day. Like in the 70s and 80s. So it's one of their exorcisms. During the exorcism, witnesses said that they saw the chair rocking violently, and when David sat in it, he would contort and growl in inhuman ways.
Nope.
So I watched a video on this chair with Zach Beggins today, and he also has like the audio tape of the exorcism. It's creepy. He played a little bit of it in the video. It's not pleasant to listen to. It's like the kid growling and like making like the demonic noises. It's pretty freaky. You should watch it.
Yeah, no, definitely not gonna. I can tell you a list of 10 things I'm not gonna do tomorrow.
No Zach Bagans exorcism tape?
No, I don't like this one.
So even worse, the entity that tormented him is said to have transferred to another person. So I think based on the video that I watched, Zach said that it was like the boy's sister's boyfriend.
Oh.
And that guy ended up murdering somebody.
What?
Reportedly as a result of this possession. And it became the first U.S. trial where demonic possession was used as a defense.
Oh my gosh.
Like, crazy, but also kind of like...
Historic?
Historic and like kind of cool. Like, no. Obviously not cool that he murdered somebody, but cool that like... that paranormal activity played a part in a court
proceedings? Yeah, I guess. I don't know, man.
So he ended up being sentenced to first-degree manslaughter and sentenced to only 10 to 20 years.
Wow.
Which is, like, crazy. But he only served 5.
And he just got
out. He just got out.
That's crazy.
Which is way too light of a sentence. Visitors to the museum report seeing the chair move on its own still to this day, feeling invisible hands push them, and even blacking out entirely.
Yeah, I don't know why anyone would go into this museum. Sounds like the world's worst museum.
I would go in.
Why? Everything in there could follow you home and ruin your life forever.
Or it couldn't.
Or it could.
Or couldn't.
That's one gamble in Vegas I'm not willing to take.
That's fair. So this item in particular, because of its intense energy, Zach will occasionally shut off access to it just for like the safety of guests. Like, I guess if it's like rearing up too much or like being too crazy, he'll just like shut it down and be like, you guys can't see it right now.
That's crazy.
Until it calms down.
Do you think he's at that museum regularly?
I mean, he lives in Vegas, so I figure when he's not...
his house is probably so sweet.
His house is probably a lot of, like, black and goth.
Yeah,
and...
but big. I mean, like, big house.
Yeah. Yeah, it's probably pretty big. All right, on to the last item that we're covering. So it's one of the more mysterious items in the museum. It is a mirror.
Okay.
It was once owned by Bela Lugosi, who is the legendary actor who played Dracula.
Oh, cool.
But it's not just any antique. It's said to be cursed.
Oh.
Yeah.
Classic.
I mean, it's in Zach Bagans' museum, yeah, so that's like fair. You can pretty much guarantee that it's got a crappy history to it. So stories claim that people who have gazed into it see shadowy figures, demonic faces, or... and this is like the scariest part of the entire thing for me. They'll see their own deaths reflected back at them.
How?
I don't know how you verify that that's correct. Like that you're actually seeing how you're going to die and all that, but.
Yeah, it sounds awful too. Like, yeah. None of these sound like attractions. Like usually museums are like, oh, we have this fun thing or we have a good cotton candy stand. I actually don't know how many museums have cotton candy stands.
Probably not very many.
I can tell you which one doesn't.
Definitely Zach Bagans.
Ghosts and deaths and all that stuff.
I feel like he's got like a liver and onion stand or something. Just like nasty.
Oh, man. Yeah, all of it's haunted. Moving on.
So some people report feeling an icy hand on their shoulder when they're looking into it. And some... so people have to like sign a waiver just to look into it.
Why? Why would people do that?
You're asking the same question about every item.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Anybody who's going to this museum wants to experience something.
I guess.
The museum's had to call 911 because of people's reactions to this mirror. Like they'll get sick and like 911 has to be called.
That's insane.
So Lugosi himself was known to be fascinated by the occult and some believe that he may have accidentally cursed the mirror through his dabbling in dark magic. And then after he died, another man rented out his home where the mirror was still hanging, and he got murdered there mafia hit style.
Oh!
So people think that that also contributed to it being cursed.
Yeah, that's fair.
And maybe that's why you see your death is because, like, someone died in it or something.
Yep. Valid point.
But so I just realized that we forgot to clarify whether we think the devil's rocking chair is haunted or
haunted.
Not.
Haunted. Moving on.
And the mirror?
Haunted. Moving on.
I would say haunted for the rocking chair. I'm not sure about the mirror. I feel like the mirror is, I don't know, like, I feel like the experiences that people have looking into the mirror are very, like, mistakeable. Like, you can think you see something, you can think, but, like, you go into these things thinking that it's haunted, that it's cursed, that you're gonna experience something.
I see your point. I'm just like, dude, I don't...
So, like, you go into it and you're like, oh, I feel my shoulder's cold. And it's like, oh, there's a cold hand on my shoulder.
Yeah, I see your point. Don't get me wrong. I see your point. I just think all of this stuff sounds way too creepy for me to try to, like, say it's not haunted. So, this was too creepy. You can't have a story this creepy again. This was too creepy.
Dude, this wasn't even that creepy. This was, like, items.
No, I think the items are what scare me the most, I'm realizing.
I feel like I have...
Locations I think I'm better with than items.
See, I think I have a harder time buying into items than I do locations.
For me, it's like, this is the stuff that, like, you're... Like you said, like, if people see a picture of it online, they can be affected.
Well, yeah, but... So,
Can we... Does talking about it affect you?
So, I think that my issue with Peggy the Doll and that claim in particular... The claim of, oh, if you look at a picture of it, like, okay, 80 people have experienced something because they looked at a picture of her, right? Let's say 2 million people have seen a picture of her. Like,
in terms of, like, statistics and stuff.
Of the 2 million people?
Yeah.
Shitty shit's going to happen to 80 of those people.
Yeah.
In a reasonable time frame to, like, associate it.
Stuff that was, like, because if you're looking up stuff like this, you're... Someone who's interested in haunting.
Yeah,
and stuff
so you're
like
probably
that.
Exposing yourself to all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, I see your point. All right. I think it's all haunted.
I think half of it's haunted.
Yeah.
I'm not convinced by the mirror. And, But the doll, I buy into the doll. And the chair, I buy into the chair.
No friggin' thank you to any of it.
We should put Peggy in the chair.
Nope.
And, like, have the mirror facing her.
What are you trying to have? Like, fucking the... I don't know.
And put it all in the Dybbuk box.
No.
That would be, like...
I think a nuclear bomb
Yeah, that
would
be ridiculous. People would go nuts.
Yeah. You can't be within a 100-mile radius of that. You would be haunted.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
I feel like Zach's tried something like that, where he's tried, like, combining the ghosts of different things. He's just that kind of guy.
Maybe. I feel like that is tempting things way too much.
I don't disagree, but I still think it would be an interesting experiment, and we should try it.
No, you can try it when you're in Vegas. I will be in Massachusetts still, a couple hundred miles away.
You're missing out, man.
Nope. Definitely not.
But I guess if anybody listening has had an experience with any of these items, if you've gone to Zach Bagans' museum and you've seen these items, let us know. Definitely leave a comment or send us a DM and just say, I had this experience with this item.
Yeah, I'm
curious to hear your stories.
I'll be curious too, but from afar.
Yeah.
Through my hands.
Like, I'll read it to Nate so that he doesn't have to see the words and have paranormal experiences through a computer screen.
There you go. Love it.
Yeah. All
right. You want to kill your drink?
Yeah, I've still got a decent amount of this left. It was a strong drink.
Well, you got to kill it. We can't move on. Our rule is we can't move on to, like, the second half of my story until the first round of drinks is finished. Now, my first round is mocktail, so obviously it's a little bit easier for that to go down. And then Aiden has to get through the drink before we can move on.
I just drank it, and I feel like, just like a rush of like exhaustion in my eyes. I don't
and
know.
Warm and all yeah. that stuff. Yep.
Yeah, that warmed my soul.
Yeah. Oh, man.
It was a good drink. It was a very strong drink. I think I put a little too much booze in it. Because I did put a little bit more than the recommended. I put 2 ounces. You're supposed to put 1.5. But still good. I love a whiskey sour. So, nice. No complaints here.
Cool. All right. Should we hit pause, move on, and then reload and hit my story?
Yeah. I'm going to reload my drink, and then we'll be back.
Cool. We're back. I'm going to lay down my story for you guys. I was excited about this one. I think I've been excited. Like, so far, there haven't been any stories that have felt like, oh, man, like I need something. Like, I'm going to research on something. Like the every single one I've gotten really into and been like, whoa, that's cool. Like, I've gotten into the research.
Mm-hmm.
The research has been fun for me throughout this process.
Yeah.
And this is no different. I am really interested in Vegas and all that Vegas has to offer, but you know, specifically the history of Vegas is something that super interests me. Are you familiar with the history behind Vegas?
Slightly. I'm just gonna go on a little tangent right now.
Okay.
So for my second drink, I did a rum sour, just completely rum, no whiskey because I was out. Very good.
Really?
Very, very tasty.
Interesting.
I'm a big rum guy anyway, but this is way smoother than a whiskey sour. And I like a whiskey sour, but this is just, yeah, this hits different.
Huh. Good to know.
But yeah, anyway, sorry. Sorry to interrupt.
No, you're good.
I know that the mob had some part in creating Vegas. That's pretty much all I know about, like, the origins of Vegas.
Yeah, I mean, though, that was kind of what I was hinting to, that, like, the mob basically built Vegas as, like, a haven where gambling was legal and they could own these massive, instead of doing, like, backroom gambling and stuff like that, they could, out in the open, front and center, like, run these massive gambling enterprises and stuff like that.
Yeah, and it's a cash business, so you can launder money pretty easily.
100%.
It's kind of the perfect business for a mafia to be in.
Yeah. Like, no, perfect business. So that's why they set it up and kind of got it going, like, in early/mid-1900s. So the location that I'm covering today has a deep history with the mob in Vegas. So I am doing the La Plaza mansion. Have you ever heard of it before?
I've not.
You've not? All right. Well, you could have maybe guessed based on its name, but it's a mansion. It's located at 1700 Banny Drives, in a pretty like wealthy area of Vegas, like almost like a suburb of Vegas. It, like I said, mansion. So it is a pretty big house. It was rumored. So by all accounts, I can't find an actual name. But I do know that the neighborhood, like the 80 Scott neighborhood, that's the name of the neighborhood, that was built at the beginning of like Vegas being like, you know, really starting to up and come and stuff like that. This house was part of one of the first like, you know, developments that went up. And a lot of the houses in that area were owned by mob guys and stuff like that. And this house was no different. So this was a mob house. It was owned by mob guys. We couldn't really find a specific name of who owned it. But it does seem like, and again, based on some of the history, seems like it was a house that, you know, was not just like a living house. It was also a house where like the business was being run from, to some extent. Yeah, so it was mob house, but it wasn't just like, you know, the mob guy was living in it. It was, you know, a house that was being frequented by people all day. There was a lot of business going on in it and all that kind of stuff. So we really don't hear much about the house until like after the mob days. Like, it's not like, oh, like Johnny Two Shoes got murdered in the basement of this house, or Sally One Eye like was murdered in the basement, or like there was no stories during the mob days. It wasn't until it was purchased like in the modern era that we really start to get some of these ghost stories right. that come out of this house. And one of the previous owners, from like what I can tell in my research and stuff like that, had so many paranormal incidents in this house that he ended up having to sell it and lost money on the house because he was like, I just need to get the fuck out of here. Like, yeah. I am so done with this. I just need to get the fuck out of this house. He moved in. So the guy moved in. It was him, his dog, and his like girlfriend who didn't live with him, but like was steady enough with him to like be in the house. And from what I can tell, one of the first. So let me also like step back. Like, this guy was so excited to buy this house. Like, from what I can tell.
Yeah, you're getting a bargain like on a mansion.
Yeah, like a mansion. Like, he bought. I don't know about a bargain. Like, he. I don't know what.
You said it was. You said the guy lost money on it, right?
Oh, he lost. Whoa, sorry. The guy that lost money on it. Like, we're.
Oh, so this is. So this is,
yeah,
the guy that lost money.
Yeah, we're fast forwarding
on it. Okay,
to the guy that, like, bought it. And he was so excited because he was making some money. Like, he was doing well for himself. I don't think he came from a lot of money. So he was like, oh, like, I made it. Like, I'm going to buy myself a $1 million, like, mansion. Like, I made it. Like, life is awesome. Life is good.
Yeah, dude, that's the American dream.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, in Vegas, early, like, you know, 2000s, 2010s. So he buys it. And I think, like, almost immediately he starts to feel, like, just a weird energy in the house. Like,
bad vibes?
Yeah, just, like, some all-around bad vibes in the crib. He... he like wasn't just like, I don't know, it was just something that was off about it. But like, you know what, you're stoked on this house. Like, what do? You throw a party, you have a couple of your friends over.
Oh yeah.
So he off the bat, like, I, you know, one of the first couple days like in the house and stuff like that, threw the party and had some friends over, and there was a wine glass that was like sitting like pretty deep back on a table. And like, from what I can tell based on like the stories and stuff like that, like a lot of people like saw this wine glass just start to slide off the table and then just whoosh, off the table. And then he got like pretty angry. And like, I think at that point, like, so that was one of the first like paranormal accounts that I can find that's like a concrete one, but there was like some stuff. So like, he was like, oh, the house is haunted. Like, maybe haunted. Like, and from his own account, he was like, I wasn't a guy that believed in ghosts and stuff like that.
Yeah, he's more joking, like, oh, there's ghosts here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But so he, the glass got pushed over and he got pretty pissed off. And he, like, had a sword hanging on the wall. So, like, he got really angry and was like, oh, like, you want to fuck around in my house? Like, come at me, bro, type attitude. And then the ghost started to choke him out. Like,
yeah, what are you going to do? Rightfully so. What are you going to do to a ghost with a sword? They're already dead.
I know. But so, like, the ghost started to choke him out. Like, one of his friends had to, like, pick him up and, like, throw him outside the house. And, like, once he, like, got outside the house, he, like, finally could breathe. But apparently it was like... like...
Okay, that's actually one of the funnier things.
Yeah.
that could have happened in that situation.
Just fight me, bro, to a ghost.
Yeah, and then the ghost is like, bet, bro.
Yeah.
Fucking... I'm dead.
Mm-hmm. Another thing that he, you know, talked about, like, gave accounts about was that his dog, he had a dog, like, pretty well-trained dog, like, a dog that, like, you know, it was his companion, his sidekick. Yeah. And he said that, like, he would see the dog. So he was seeing his dog, like, you know, kind of dart its head around the room. Like, it could see things that he couldn't see. It was, like, peeing the bed, he said, also, too. He said it was, like, shaking all the time. And this was, like, apparently, like, a big pit bull dog. Like, it wasn't a small, like, nervous dog. Like, this was a pretty big dog that, like, was just always, like, seeing something that he could not see. So that was happening. Another, like, really crazy thing that was happening in the house, too, was that his girlfriend, anytime she took a shower, she could hear, like, voices, like, making, like, derogatory, like, sexual comments towards her and stuff like that. So, like, that was something that I thought was crazy. And then, like, you start to read more and hear more and listen to more. And apparently it turns out that, like, there was voices that were coming from, like, what was the attic. And but they were coming so, like, loud and often that, like, she even thought that someone was, like, living up there, or there was, like, a radio that was, like, got stuck up there that was, like, talking back and forth. But an interesting thing, and I think something that stood out to me is, like, being kind of different, is that I feel like a lot of times you hear of, like spirits and, like, you know, voices, it's, like, one voice talking to you as a person or stuff like that. Apparently, from what I can tell, is, like, it was voices that were talking back and forth to each other.
Couple of ghosts having a conversation.
Yeah, so it was, like, couple of ghosts having a conversation. So I thought that was really interesting. And like I said, she was so convinced that she kept, like, going up to the, like, attic or peeking her head in. And the previous owner before this guy and his girlfriend, the one who's, like, being terrorized, he, like, didn't have a ton of accounts. He knew, like, he said it felt weird vibes, but he would hear the voices up in the attic all the time. Like, he would go up and check and make sure there's no one in the attic because he would hear the voices all the time.
I feel like as the skeptic of the two of us, I appreciate that they're jumping to more logical conclusions before they jump to paranormal conclusions.
Yep.
Like, oh, there's like, a person up in my attic. There's, like, a radio up there.
Yeah.
Before they're like, oh, this place is just haunted.
No, from what I can tell, like, a lot of the people involved in this specific one were not, like, ghost people. These were people that were, like, living in the house that were, like, actively, like, I don't believe in ghosts. But all of this stuff was, like, too weird for them to deal with.
Okay.
So there was even another account, this poor woman, she, like, was hearing the voices so often in the walls and stuff, too, that she kept, like, banging around trying to find, like, a hollow, like, spot in the wall. So she, like, was apparently one night, like, going around, like banging on, like, all parts of the wall, like, trying to, like, figure out if there was, like, a hollow spot that someone was in or somewhere and stuff like that. And she, like was, like, again, like, banging, 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 banging. And then she got to one spot, and right before she banged, like, something else knocked back and then growled at her.
So it didn't want her to knock wherever it was.
I know. And apparently she went running and then, like hid in her bed.
I feel like I would probably still think it's a person. And they were waiting. They were like, oh, the person's, like, right there knocking on the wall. Like, as soon as they get to my spot, I'm just going to, like, scare the crap out of her so that she runs away.
I guess. I don't know. I mean, the guy said, like, he was carrying his, like, handgun in his waistband, like, walking around the house, like, because he was
That's
so
no way to live.
I just
That is no way to live.
But, yeah, he was saying, too, like, that this, like, there was just a bad energy in this house that he was, like, got connected to. And he was, like, I was pretty close to, like, murdering people, like, and stuff like that because of just the bad energy in the house. Now, that, all of that, like, is enough to convince me, but that isn't, like, in my opinion, even, like, the meat of the story. The meat of the story when we're talking about, like, one, how did this place get haunted? Like, why did it get haunted?
Yeah.
And then also, two, who is haunting it? Now, I Which one do you prefer? Like, which one do you want to hear first? How did it get haunted, or like the who's haunting it?
How?
How? Okay, so I'll kind of keep going with my story then. So again, I've talked about how like she had all the sexual comments, like the ghost was choking him, the ghost pushed the like glass over and stuff like that. So another thing, like, I think it was becoming pretty clear to them that there was like just a lot of bad energy in this house, but they weren't really like sure as to why or how. But they were like, I think at one point he like says during like something that I was reading, that there was definitely like, he was like, people have been killed in this house. I can feel it. I'm not like, I can feel it. He said at one point he pulled the floorboards up and there was a bunch of guns like underneath the floor. Like someone was like stashing guns in the floor and stuff like that. And apparently they were all 22s, which is the favorite gun of the mob because the rounds are the least traceable out of all like types of rounds.
Interesting.
Yeah. So thought that was really interesting, but that's not even the best part. The best part was, so you know when like you buy a house in like the modern era, one of like, what is something that you see a million of that house?
What do you mean?
Like, so if I was going to try to sell you a house, I'm showing you a pamphlet with a million what of the house?
Pictures.
Pictures, right? So there is, he said, like, he bought this house normally. Like, he bought it from a realtor. He saw a bunch of pictures of it. He went on tours of the house, all that kind of stuff. Now, he did not know. It wasn't until like a while after owning the house that he, so there was a towel rack that was two like golden swans. And he, I think like went to put a towel on it or like went to like maybe just feel it or something like that. I'm not 100% sure how it happened, but he grabbed one of the swans and it twisted. And when the swan twisted, it popped open a door.
Oh, dude. Dream situation here.
What? Why?
I absolutely want if I like when I buy a house, or if I buy a house, because we're destined to never buy houses as the millennials or Gen Zs or whatever we are. But if and when I buy a house, I absolutely want to find a secret room. I think that's so cool.
Like, if it's a cool secret room.
If you have a mob house, it's gonna be a cool secret room.
All right, so I'm gonna ask you that question again in 45 seconds from now when I'm done with the story.
Okay.
I agree with you. So I had an aunt and uncle that had a house out in Colorado growing up, and they built the house themselves. And my uncle made a secret passageway from his office to like his bedroom
Sick.
in a bookshelf, and like it was like
Yeah, that's
classic
so
like
cool.
fake book where it opened up and like went into like the bathroom going to like the bedroom and
Yeah.
stuff like that. That's sick. That is cool. We're both in agreement that that's
Okay.
cool. Now let me get you back into the swan room. So he turns to one of the swan like towel hangers and a door pops open, and I think him and his girlfriend were together, like meaning like they were both there
In the
ex
bathroom.
in like experiencing it.
Yeah.
And he they open it up. They're like, "The fuck is this? Like, we've never seen this. No one's ever told us about this." Like, they did not know that this secret room existed
Okay.
at all. And they, I think they were even convinced, like they were pretty sure that no one who was even selling them the house knew this was existed. So like it was pretty much like they were like, "Oh, we're the first people, other than the people that like built this room, to find this room."
Okay.
So they open it up and they go into this one room, and it's all like, it's like a water heater and like some maintenance stuff. Like, so they're pretty much like, "Oh, this is normal." Like, they're like, "This room seems like a like just a maintenance, like it's your house, like inside stuff."
But
But then there was a second room behind that room. So they go into the second room and it's a whiteout room. So it's all the walls are like white. And the floor is all white tile with a drain sitting in the middle of the room. And then there's an industrial sink along the back. And they're like, this is fucking weird. And like, also too, he said, like, once they walked in, just this like heavy, heavy energy sets in. And he immediately, like, it clicked for him of like, this is where people were killed. Like, this is where people were killed. So he then, like, you know, after a little bit, they go to pull the sink out. And he said that it was all old blood stained in, like, this, like, in the pipes and stuff like that. And it also reeked of bleach.
Hmm.
So, like, I think putting two and two together is, like, that was the execution room. And they would just, like, spray it down, have all the blood go into the drain, and then, like, you know, dump everything else out in the sink and then pour bleach through everything and then act like it never happened.
Okay, so I will say, no longer a dream situation.
Yeah.
But being able to renovate that room into a, like, man cave or, like, a secret, like hangout, still pretty sick.
I just feel like the energy there, he said, was, like, so bad.
Yeah, I'm sure, but maybe that's because it's still, like, the same room. Like, I feel like if you, like, put carpet and, like, new wallpaper or, like, paint the walls, put some new, like, stuff in there, maybe the energy will change.
I guess. I don't know. I'm not really going to
put a pool table in there. Maybe, like, a 70 to 100-inch flat screen.
Oh, my
you know.
Gosh. Yeah, just in your casual mob execution room.
Yeah.
I don't know if
dude, a speakeasy in there, like a speakeasy style room, that would be cool. Like a mob speakeasy. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that'd be cool. I don't know. I'm not really. You know what? I'm not going to visit you if you own that. I'm just putting that out there now.
Well, you can visit the normal rooms and I'll save the mob man cave for people who would appreciate it.
Yep. So yeah, I thought that was pretty crazy.
That is crazy. That's it. It was a dream situation that turned into a non-dream situation in terms of what you want when you're buying a house.
Yeah. Especially like you spent $1 million on a house too. Like that's pretty bummer. The one thing that I kind of found funny in all my research, and it leads me into my next point, of the only ghost that like people have seen and like experienced in terms of like visually, like heard the voices from like men and stuff like that. There's actually two. So let me rephrase. Let me get the not fun one out of the way.
Okay.
There's a apparently like a dark shadow man with like long arms. So like he's been seen around the house, like just a dark figure with long arms. He's apparently been the one that they believed to have been the guy that choked him. So like obviously a pretty aggressive guy, potentially the mob boss himself, potentially like a number two in command that's like always angry or something like that. So yeah, that guy seems like a bummer.
Yeah, bummer.
Yep. Second ghost that is seen is this small old lady that apparently wears like this big ass hat with like the big sunglasses on, but apparently she's a raging bitch. Like everyone that sees her, she like has these mini cigars like in her mouth and like is just a really mean person. Apparently she was like the bookkeeper that like would be up in like she did the books in the attic and like was the accountant and like stuff like that. So like she was handling all the cash in the attic.
Like for the mob?
Yeah, for the mob. And there was like even some stuff that said like she potentially was like a high ranking member's mom. Like she was even like the boss's mom or like someone that was high ranking's mom. Apparently she was like just not a nice person. So like, anyone that's seen her, like she's just been really mean to. I think it's really funny thinking of this like 4 foot tall lady with a big hat and sunglasses on with this like cigar.
Being like, you're like, that dress does not work
yeah,
on you.
Yeah, you're like, you're like, oh my gosh, it's a ghost. She's like, fuck you. And you're like, oh.
Get out of my house.
Yeah, you're like, what? She's like, I'll fucking stab you. And you're like, what?
No,
like,
dude.
I can't take you seriously at all, but I'm also scared of you.
I'm calling it now. The Shadow Man is innocent. This lady choked the guy out.
She's like, and she dropped. She actually, you know what? If someone's gonna spill a glass of wine, like, it would just like.
Oh yeah, she's like,
just got one finger. Like yeah. I fucking hate that you're in my house right now. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Oh, you want to throw a fucking sword at me? I got you. I'll fucking just.
I also like that she's fully Boston.
Yeah, no, she's probably like Italian or like from Jersey or something like that.
Yeah.
But, like, definitely, like, smoke, like, that deep.
Oh, yeah. No, she was chain smoking up in the attic doing the books.
Yes, absolutely.
For sure.
And apparently she, like, has, like, a sailor's mouth because she was up in the attic with all the mob guys and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what she has said to people that have entered that house has probably been atrocious.
I like this lady.
Yeah, she was, like, the one bright spot of, like, obviously, if you're in the moment, like, would not be fun.
Yeah, no. I don't want to interact with her, but yeah. I love hearing stories.
Yes, absolutely. So, thought that was hilarious. So, what do you think? Haunted or not?
Okay. I think I was unconvinced up until you talked about the murder room. As soon as the murder room came into play, I was like, oh, yeah, no. If anywhere was going to be haunted, that's a place that would be haunted.
Yep.
Because... No, blood in the pipes.
Yeah.
Like dried blood still being there from the murder victims. Mm-hmm. That's pretty crazy.
Well, and I think the other thing, too, like, kind of looking into some of the history of, like, Vegas, where it's, like, when it got first created, like, it was the mob creating an infrastructure with, like, a pretty, like, you know, Vegas, as you know, both, like, now and it seems like back in the day, attracted some pretty sketchy characters because it was like kind of like the Wild West a little bit. So like people that were up to no good or had a history of being up to no good, like went to Vegas and like definitely were people that tried to prey upon, like, cause I think like, you know, while it's had its intentions, like people that are good people go to Vegas, like people that are good people, like, have been going to Vegas for a very long time and stuff like that. So, definitely think that there was a period of time where people were going to Vegas to prey upon visitors of Vegas. And I do think that at the beginning, at least, like, from what I've read and stuff like that, the mob acted almost as the...
police.
You know, yeah, the enforcement agency of kind of keeping the really bad people away. Obviously, like, you know, the mob themselves wasn't, like, you know, the greatest entity in the world, but they took it upon themselves to, like, get rid of the really bad people. So, like, and, you know, they don't deal with it the same way the, like, LVPD does. Like, they're like, oh, you want to come and try to, like, you know, rape people or kill people, we're going to just fucking bring you into this house, put a bullet in you, and then it's going to be over and stuff like that. So, yeah, I think, like, there was, I would imagine, I would not be surprised, because I couldn't find anything when it comes to, like, number of people that were killed in that house and stuff like that. I would not be surprised if it was a crazy number.
Yeah.
Like, I'm talking, like, I don't know, anywhere, like, 50 to 100.
I could see in the tens, for sure.
But my thought, my rationale at least, is like, the energy was so, like, we hear about houses that been mob houses, or houses that people have been murdered and stuff like that, but I think, like, the sheer amount of, like, bad people that were both in there as living entities and people that were killed in there, like, seems like it was a big number.
Yeah. No, I could see that, and I think that, yeah, I think just given the murder room alone, that kind of sent me over the edge in terms of whether or not it's haunted. I love the old lady. That old lady is, like, the best part of that story for me by far.
Yeah.
The fact that she's just, like, I feel like she's, like, just hasn't been allowed to leave.
No.
Like,
But I also think part of her probably doesn't ever want to leave. Like, yeah. She is, like, Just kind of like...
Just kind of wants to fuck with people?
Yes. Like, I'm just a fucking ghost. What do you want from me? Like,
oh, you want to swing a sword? Yeah, yeah, I'll just choke you out. Fuck with me now.
Oh, man. Like, and also, too, just like wearing a hat and sunglasses. Like, yeah, that is what she went to the afterlife, like, in.
Yeah, that's... Like, it's like real piece of shit ghost, yeah. But I kind of respect her for it a little bit.
Yeah. She's hilarious. But, yeah, I thought that was a good one. I thought that was interesting. I was excited to bring that to the table.
Yeah, I like that. I like La Plaza, probably haunted.
Yeah.
I would visit if it... I don't know if it's open to the public, but...
No, so it's a private residence. There was a couple of years where it was, like, undergoing renovations. I think it was, like, 2017, like, 2012.
Probably putting a man cave in the murder room.
Maybe. But there was, like, a period of time where, like, it was not occupied by anyone, so they were letting people. So, like, Ghost Adventures, like, Zachy B did film an episode there.
Oh, dude, it's a little connection between our stories.
Yeah, it is. It's, you know what was interesting, though? The episode is not, like, I can't find it anywhere. It's missing. So, I thought that was kind of creepy.
Zachy B found out too much. The mafia couldn't have it.
Maybe. And then I also thought it was funny, too. I found a YouTube clip of a guy that, like, got inside the property or something like that. It was, like, from 12 years ago. And it's just a guy by himself with, like, one of the, like, voice recorders and, like, a camera with a flashlight, like, up to his eye. And he doesn't even, like, have, like, a full flashlight. It's just, like, the camera flashlight. And he's just going, like, I'm a little nervous right now. Is there any ghosts here? And then, like, you don't hear anything ghosts. I know you're in here. Please speak to me. I'm a little nervous right now. For like 10 minutes.
Even the old lady ghost was like, I don't want to talk to this guy.
Yeah, this guy's...
Yeah, this guy sucks.
So, yeah, I thought that was interesting. I didn't really see much in his video that like made me go like, yeah, I agree.
So was he like... an urban explorer, and like he was in there illegally?
No, he was a ghost guy. Oh, okay. I don't know if he was allowed or not, but it was like, I mean, the property was gutted, so it was like ripped down to the studs for a couple of years. So like, I don't know how much like there's a gate on it, but I don't know how much like patrolling. But it's in a nice neighborhood, so like I do feel like if he was there like super illegally, someone would have noticed. Because it's, I mean, think like they don't build $1 million houses by themselves. Like, they're near other $1 million houses. So,
yeah,
I definitely thought that was interesting. His footage did not make me believe that it was haunted. But, you know, just trying to do as much research as possible. So,
good story. I
appreciate it. Yeah, I did not like yours. Way too creepy. But, yeah, good episode.
Yeah. Yeah. So, again... leave us any Las Vegas ghost stories that you have.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
And also make sure that you email any ghost stories, period, that you have to spiritsonspiritspod@gmail.com. We would love to read them, love to see them. And eventually we're hoping to do like whole episodes dedicated to like user, or not user, like listener stories. So like, you guys sending your stories in and we read them. So definitely send those in and we'll eventually do an episode like that.
That'd be cool.
That would be cool.
If we got enough to like do an episode like that, I'd be so fucking stoked.
Yeah, that would be sick.
So, fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed.
Cool. You have anything else you want to add for the people?
Nah, just stay spooky.
Stay spooky. And like, subscribe, and comment, please.
Please, please.
Please, please, please.
All right. We'll see you next week.
Peace.
Peace.